So we're with the biblical habit, the holy habit of fellowship. And I invite you to think about the word fellowship and what you think it means to you. Because it's not a word that is so very commonly used in everyday language. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and what it said was, it's friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. And I saw on the way to church today a couple of cyclists dressed in Lycra and going out for a bike ride, and I thought, you're enjoying fellowship, you two. Your special interest is biking, and you are there together enjoying the countryside and each other's company. You have fellowship. And I think fellowship from our point of view as a faith community, it goes rather deeper than that, because it's not about a special interest. It goes deeper than that. It is not necessarily about friendship, because we choose our friends, but our faith community that we belong in isn't necessarily people that we would have chosen to be with. And it's not always easy. And yet, the depth of relationships that we're called to in our fellowship, in our faith community, it goes very, very deep, beyond friendship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And koinonia means being in communion with God and with one another. That is what a community of faith is. It's about belonging and sharing. It's about intimacy. It's about being bonded in love. And contrary to what some folk think about faith, which you sometimes hear people say, faith is a very private matter. But I want to encourage us to be thinking, faith for us is not a private matter, it's a shared one. And it's not only a shared one with one another in the faith community, it is for sharing more widely. And the most important one in the midst of it all is Jesus. It's our communion with him, our communion with one another. And in our gospel reading today, we heard Jesus say, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. That means here he is, right now, in our midst, which is a holy mystery and an awesome wonder to get our heads around, isn't it? And I have the sense, really, that this community is like a gathering around a table where there's always an extra place. Or a chair you can drag up and say, yes, of course there's room for you here. And so I'm thoughtful about places at tables and about people gathering around food and friendship as they share together. And that's taking my thoughts to our first reading today, the wonderful meeting under the tree with food and with their feet, water for the feet to be washed, a picture of desert hospitality. Nobody in a desert, at home in a desert, would refuse hospitality to a stranger. They would have to give them sustenance because it was a matter of life or death. And those three visitors, it turns out, were not just ordinary folk. They were God's messengers, maybe even God himself in human form. So interestingly, in this church, we have an icon of this meal that was shared. I'm going to pass it around so you can all have a look at it. The three visitors who met Abraham, here it is. It is Rublev's icon, and it's called the Hospitality of Abraham. But it's more than that. It's like fellowship for us. It's more than friendship. This is more than just a picture about that gathering at Abraham's dwelling in the wilderness. It is full of symbolism about the Trinity itself, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's who it's felt are gathered around the table in that icon. And you will notice when it comes to you that there's a place for you there. It's the place at the front of the table with the three around, and yours is there. And if you've got it in front of you now, you might notice that there's a little square in the picture on the table at the front, and it's felt that there was once a mirror attached there, so that when you came up to look at the picture, you would see yourself. It's very beautiful, isn't it, to imagine that God is saying to each one of us, all of us, come on, this is yours. This is your place. Come and make yourself at home here. So the circle is not complete. There's always room. And the figures, as they sit around the table, are always looking at one another. Yes, they are, but they're always looking out as well for the stranger, the passerby, the person who needs to be told, come on, this is you, this is your place. My absolute favourite definition of fellowship that I found in my reading for today is, fellowship is a relationship between believers who want to help each other grow in faith. A relationship between believers who want to help each other grow in faith. And I wonder how you experience this in your life of faith. Who are the friends, companions around you who urge you on and help you grow and ask you maybe sometimes challenging questions, or when you need them, you know that you can lean on them and they'll be there for you? So in the week that's just passed, there have been a couple of occasions where I thought, this is fellowship. One was at Alpha, when we had a meal together, about eight or so of us. We had a meal together, and then afterwards we spoke about faith and raised questions and wondered about things together. And the other occasion was at the Bible Book Club on Friday afternoon, where we were gathered around the Gospel of Matthew, having read it, and then we were talking about it. We had tea and coffee and biscuits, and just really, we went deeper. We went digging deep into Scripture. We don't find the answers always, but we usually discover something we didn't know before. And that, to me, is fellowship. But that's me. I wonder about you. What is fellowship for you? And just whilst you're thoughtful about this, here's a picture of it from the animal kingdom. So a couple of weeks ago, when we were walking in Rest Park, we came across a gathering of geese. And they were grey geese, grey lag geese, and there were about 20 of them. And they were enjoying each other's company, it seemed to me, grazing in the field there, and maybe planning to fly off together. And I thought about geese and what they have to teach us about fellowship, and there are a few things. So, the geese, when they fly in formation. They fly in formation because together, in that V shape, each one of them together has 71% more flying range and power than if they were on their own. They can go further together. When a goose falls out of that V-shaped formation, it will feel the drag on itself and it will quickly get back in line so that it can fly better. They do well together. When a lead goose gets tired, it drops out of the lead and falls back so that it can have a rest and somebody else that's fresher and stronger maybe can take the lead. And the geese at the back vocalize to keep the ones at the front encouraged. So you hear them shouting to each other, don't you? And it's very beautiful. The older geese, they teach the younger ones and they show them how to be. And if a goose is wounded or ill or old or struggling in any way and it drops to the ground because it can't fly anymore, two others will go down with it and they will stay with it until it either dies or recovers, and then they will fly together to join their own flock or another passing flock that is going by. They really look after each other, these geese. So I'm thinking that is a good example for us as a community of faith. Are we looking after each other that well? Are we encouraging each other as they do like that? And this is what the Bible says about how to look after each other in fellowship. It says these things: be devoted to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, serve one another in love, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgive each other, encourage each other, offer hospitality, love one another as I have loved you. And then some absolutely extraordinary things are possible, like Sarah having a baby when she was past her time, bringing into her life such joy as she'd longed for all her life and was given. She couldn't believe it, and she laughed. I don't think I would laugh if it happened to me. No, done. You know, God always does extraordinary things, more than we can ever ask or imagine. And what he does when we're in communion with him, yes, but also in communion with one another. And if we aren't, we'd do well, like the geese, to get back in line, whatever it takes. And the gospel reading has some good advice on how to get back in line when our relationships have fallen a bit. So, questions to leave you with. How deep is our fellowship? Could it be deeper? And if so, how? How hospitable are we? And is that bondedness deeper for some than for others? Is anyone left out? That won't do. What or how could we create and maintain more hospitality and inclusion in this church? Who might need tending to at this time, like the goose that's fallen and needs two by it? Three, there's often something about three, isn't there? Two friends to sit with you if you're not so well and failing, struggling. And how are we encouraging each other? Are we shouting, go for it, yes, you're doing it, well done you? And so much of what I'm saying today, actually, I feel like I said to Jake and Ella last week in your wedding, because it's the commitment to one another, it's the encouragement, it's the looking after each other, it's the depth of love. And investing. You're not good when you're on your own. You're better together. You two for sure are. You complement each other, you know, like a prince and princess. Honestly, you do. But for all of us today, where are we with this? Is it challenging? Is it encouraging? Does it make you want to do some more about fellowship and hospitality? Does it make you thankful? I don't know. Whatever. It is definitely an invitation, always an invitation from Jesus. Come closer. Come closer to the table with me. Let's talk. Let's eat together, he says. Look in the mirror. There you are. I'm expecting you. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the liveliness of your company is fellowship itself. But you don't leave it there. You invite us to be part of it too. Thank you so much. And we ask that today there will be maybe even a deeper bond between us, because we've considered these words together, and maybe we just realise how much we believe them. Amen.